for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, April the 19th, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on The Law for the Lawless.
And I hear all this stuff about spiritual warfare, and I do very little spiritual warfare. I mean, it's not that I don't. When something happens, I always say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? I deal with God, and it's Boo Devil. And so most of my dealings in getting delivered, and I get delivered every day of something. Mm-hmm. If there's a problem or if I feel like I'm being attacked, I repent, ask God what He's trying to show me, deal with what He's trying to show me, repent, and the devil's not even there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a reason. The Bible says a curse without a cause cannot lie. And the devil can't do anything that God doesn't let him do, so we really don't have a demon problem. We have a God problem. So when we deal with God, I don't fight the devil all day long. But I talk to God all day long, and I repent all day long. Every day I get delivered of something. Is that not working? Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, we thank You and praise You that You have a word. And Lord, we pray that the eyes of every heart will be enlightened. We pray, Lord, that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth my innermost being. And Lord, I thank You that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that accuses us in judgment we condemn. For this is the heritage of those who seek the Lord. Their vindication is from the Lord. Lord, we just lift up this camp, every person in it. We thank You for healing Meryl. We thank You for healing Barbara. Lord, we thank You for all the workers here. I thank You for the prayer team. I thank You for the speakers here. I thank You that repentance is taught here. I thank You that this is a place where we get our lives changed. And Lord, I want my life changed every day. In Jesus' name. And Lord, thank You that we've been raised to sit with You in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, in Jesus' name. We take authority over every evil spirit, in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We bind any demons that would pervert the Word of God in our ears. We bind any spirits that would keep us from the truth that sets us free. We bind every demon that would block our deliverance, our understanding, our comprehension, and our retention of the Word of God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just, in Jesus' name, we declare that Satan's bound. We bind and break every word, curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, incantation, divination, assault, assignment, attachment, voodoo, magic, black magic, sorcery, enchantments, bewitchments, words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, and satanic rituals spoken over us, spoken over our president, spoken over our president's allies, in the name of Jesus, over this camp, Meryl, Barbara, Patty, Kevin, over Dan, Crystal, over Linda, over Rick, in the name of Jesus, over every person in this room, in this camp, in Jesus' name. Thank You for a changed life.
Yes.
Did you do it? Oh, bless the Lord. Well, that little deal, there's another little deal, okay? It's locked. Let me get this off first. Okay. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. This is not going to be a long message anyway. When the messages are long, I want to say, cut. Then the Lord said, I'm the one that decides how long the message goes. Bless the Lord. The message is entitled, The Law is for the Lawless. And the lawless, of course, is the rebellious. And the rebellious is any person that walks counter to the Word of God, because the Word of God is our plumb line. Is it doing it? Hallelujah.
Barbara, I loved your song. It's beautiful. Beautiful voice. Beautiful song. Anointing. Amen. One more minute, and then we're going to go regardless, okay? Because God's got a plan when I don't have one. Or when I think I have one, right?
Turn it off.
And I don't want to get the impression.
Turn the walk off. It's going to be. Is that okay?
Yeah, I can read it, but it's just better the other way. Anyway, I don't want you to think I don't bind the devil. I do bind the devil. But I don't go around just battling the devil all the time. Okay? But I deal with God, because God's the one that's in charge of the devil. He lets the devil get you when you're in sin. That's why the scripture says in James 4:7, submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil and he has to flee. My friend Milton Green, I went to 55 of his meetings. He was the man that cast the demons out of James Robinson. And he used to say, when you walk in obedience, you have a hedge of protection around you. And when you break that hedge, it's hedge down, sick 'em. Yep. It's like when you're in God's refuge, you're in a safe place. And Psalms 91 is a representative of God's refuge. And there's other scriptures. But it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And so if you're under God's refuge, you're in a safe place. The scripture says, and I don't know the reference because I didn't plan to use it, but it says, when you're in God's refuge, and I'm paraphrasing, the breath of the ruthless, the devil, is like a rainstorm against a wall. Have you ever been in a room where it's raining and the rain's hitting the windows and you stay dry? When you're in God's refuge, you're in a protected place. And no demon can touch you there. But sometimes we get things sticking out there outside of God's refuge and we get hit. And what I've learned through God teaching me is, when I get hit, God, why you let me get hit? And so then I repent. And Randy was talking about this last night. Ask the Lord why, because there's a reason why you go through what you go through. And if you don't ask God, let me tell you something, you'll be sitting here the next 50 years and the same problems will be happening. Ask God why you're not asking him. What's blocking you from asking God what your problem is? And it's not to question God, oh God, you're a mean God. God loves you so much, he disciplines every son whom he loves. And if you're a fruit-producing Christian, you're going to get pruned. And he's coming for a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle, and we're getting the wrinkles ironed out.
Amen.
And so God has a reason to allow us. He allows us to go through things that he might conform us more into his image. And if we're stupid people, we don't go to God, and so we just get bitter instead of better. And I don't want to be bitter. I was sharing with someone once, you know, I can honestly say everything I've ever gone through in my lifetime, and somebody called me Miss Job one year because my husband left me, my son was dying of AIDS. Jerry, you just have all kinds of problems. I thought, God, am I deceived? I'm happy in the midst of all of this. Am I deceived? And I went up to Maine. I was reading the Bible to my grandchildren. And I was reading Proverbs 3. It says, all his ways are pleasant ways, and all his paths are paths of peace. I thought, hallelujah, I'm not being deceived. Because when she said that, I thought, God, am I deceived? Because I'm the happiest person in the world. Anyway, always ask God, because he's got a reason why you're going through what you're going through. And so the lawless is the rebellious. And we are in rebellion every time we walk counter to God's word. That's why every time you align yourself with God's word, you're going to get freer and freer and freer. And I thank God. I turned 80 in February, and I'm telling you, every day is the day of deliverance. And if you don't deal with your demons by the time you're my age, you're all kinds of things wrong with you. In fact, even younger people are. People are sick at all ages because they don't deal with sin. And what's so sad is very few churches in America even teach against sin. Because if they taught against sin, they'd run away the big tithers and these big church buildings. And even you could even have a little building that you're trying to pay for. There's too much compromise in the church. And I thank God for this place because you know, we're not perfect, and we get delivered. Every time we come, we get delivered. And we're still all a work in progress. But I thank God for this place, because the word that comes forth from this place is a pure word. A lot of places you go nowadays, you actually get demons. And so be careful who lays hands on you, okay? And if the pastor is in adultery, let me tell you something. The scripture says after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. I thank God for my pastor, because he's not perfect, but he's got a pure heart to please God. And so the lawless is for the rebellious. Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger would be sent against him. So if I step outside of God's refuge, I'm in rebellion, right? I'm out in Satan's territory. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God abides under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. So if I step outside of that umbrella of protection, I'm out in Satan's territory where the fiery darts are flying. And if one hits me, I say, okay, God, why am I getting hit? What did I do? I can start... every time I say this, the devil condemns me and tells me that, you know, you're really asking for it to say this. And I'm not saying it in pride, but I haven't been to a doctor in 27 years except to have cataract surgery in 2016. I'm on no medication. I take nothing. If I start to get sick, I say, I give God all the glory. I'm not taking any glory, but I'm trying to teach you is the only reason I'm sharing it. Amen. Because you can live free of sickness and sin if you deal with your sin. The minute I start getting something, I start, okay, God, what I do? And it starts leaving. This past year or two, since my cousin has been here driving me around, we grew up and we were always like matches and gasoline. And so the last couple of years, I mean, I've been laughing at things I shouldn't laugh at. And I tell you, I've almost had a continuous sinus infection or a little cough, and it's because of sin of words. And recently I taught a message, I think you hear it last, Lake Hamilton, on the tongue, and you can get the message or you can listen to it free on Lake Hamilton. And ever since then, that really changed my life and hers too. And now we're driving around without any kind of infection or cold because it's upper respiratory, your air. It's the breath of the Almighty or it's the breath of Satan. Whose breath are you really breathing out? And so I ask God to show me immediately, and I get well.
Amen.
You know, I even had the fingernail got some kind of a whatever. I almost lost this whole fingernail. Oh, you better go to the doctor and do something. Well, they had to take the nail off. I'm telling you, the nail's already healed.
Amen.
Already. I mean, it was rotten around whatever. It was some kind of a fungus or something, because I have a kennel where I sometimes put dirty gloves and dirty hands in gloves, and I don't do that anymore. Anyway, it says a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. And if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to read along with me because it helps. You know, wherever there's a in the physical, there's always a court, a law. There's a law, there's a judge, there's a court, there's a prison, there's an officer in a prison, right? In the physical? Well, in God's spiritual laws, God's the judge according to James 2. God's the judge, the officer is a demon spirit, and the prison is a spiritual prison you go into when you violate God's law. Because demons are executors of God's law. They carry it out. In other words, if I'm breaking the law and I step outside of God's refuge, hey, the demons, here come the demons. Where the fiery darts, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God abides in the shadow and protection of the Mighty Almighty. I'll not be afraid of the arrow by night or the pestilence that starts in darkness, for 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But it'll not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation. No evil will befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. Now that's a true word. So if a plague comes, hey, there's a reason, right? No plague will come near your dwelling. I was reading Revelations this week, and it talked about all the different horses and the different plagues. One was a plague of pestilence and no food. And this is going to happen. If you take the mark of the beast, you won't go to heaven. But it was talking about there'd be no wind on the sea, no wind on the rivers, no wind on the trees, no an earth without wind. Can you imagine a place where there's no wind? Can you imagine when the mountains crumble into the sea? Everything dissolves. Pestilence be poured out upon the earth, and that's coming with the Antichrist. That's coming. But it said men still would not repent of their sin. They blasphemed God instead. It's just one of those things come near me. God, don't hit me. Wait a minute, God. Show me what you want me to do. And I'm not being legalistic. In fact, legalism is rebellion, and I'll show you that pretty soon when I show you an illustration. And so wherever there's a law, in the physical or in the spiritual, there's a judge, there's an officer, and there's a prison. If you drive through Hot Springs, Arkansas, for example, and you drive the speed limit, you're not under the laws of Hot Springs. But the minute you drive over the speed limit, you come under the law. It's the same way with God's law. You're not under the law till you violate it. And when you violate it, here comes the demons. So biblical law refers to the legal aspects of the Bible, the holy scriptures of Judaism and Christianity. And so wherever there's a law, there's an officer and there's a prison and there's a judge. But in the spiritual, God is the judge, according to James chapter 2. First Timothy says, the law was not made for a righteous person. In 1 Timothy 1:8 says, we know the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, that's the rebellious and the rebellious, for the unholy and sinners, for the ungodly and for sinners and for the profane. Profane means it's relating to being devoted to that which is not scriptural or biblical, secular rather than righteous. So what you're devoted to. Okay, I'm going to start over. The law is not made for a righteous person, but for the ungodly sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, and of course we do that when we curse them, for murderers, and we can murder people with our mouth as well as stab them with a knife, and sexually immoral, which is fornicators, and it's all forms of sexual sin, bestiality, pedophiles, lust, pornography. It includes all of being sexually immoral, which includes masturbation, homosexuals, and kidnappers and liars and perjurers, means to swear falsely under oath, to solemnly or willfully make false statements under oath. There's a lot of politicians that are perjuring themselves. And whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. So the law is for anything we break that's according to sound teaching, which is the Word of God. And God tells us to walk in the Spirit and will not be under the law. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So you could say, and I want you to know that Randy said this Friday night, Randy, Callie, and Deborah and I, we didn't talk about what we're going to teach, but it's amazing how it all tied together because each one of us go to the Holy Spirit and ask God what He wants us to do. And so they tie in together for your benefit. And I always say, well, Lord, what would be the thing that would benefit people the most? Because I don't want to just share a word that's not changing somebody's life. In fact, it's my opinion that if you go to church and your life's not changed, you didn't hear from God. And so it's like Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for they're in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. You may not do the things you please. You may not do the things you please. You have to please God. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So you could say, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you come back under the law, and the demons are the executors of the law. It says, and of course, by walking in the Spirit, your life produces the character and nature of Jesus, which is love, which Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when you're under God's umbrella, you're not under the law, and you have self-control. You get outside of God's refuge, out there in Satan's realm, and the Bible says that the law arouses in me sinful passions. You get over here under God's refuge, and there's no law. And so when you walk in the Spirit, your life produces the character and nature of Jesus. When you operate in the flesh, your life is producing the character and nature of Satan. And all of these things, and I'm going to read in Galatians 5:19, and Deborah read this, and I think Randy read it too. So God's got something He wants you to say. I mean, to hear. Galatians 5:19 says, for now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, and that sexual sin is fornication, impurity, not living a pure life, sensuality, which is gratification of the senses or indulgence of the appetite, fleshly, devoted, or preoccupied with sensual appetites, deficient in moral, spiritual, or intellectual interest, worldly, especially righteous. Can I tell you that if you're a believer and truly been born again, you're not going to be worldly? You're not even going to be interested in the world. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy beautiful flowers and beautiful scenery and the beautiful things of the world. But God says if you have a love for the world, the love of the Father's not in you. Galatians 5:20 says idolatry. And idolatry is loving anything more than you love Jesus. Sorcery, and that word in the Greek is pharmakia, spell-given portion, potion. A pharmacist, a druggist, and then it says it's witchcraft. In King James says witchcraft. Strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, which is discord, disunity, producing quarrels, factions, being contentious or self-seeking, envying. Now, I asked the Lord, what's the difference between jealousy and envy? Envy is coveting and wanting something that somebody else has. It's tied in with jealousy, but jealousy is fear you're going to lose something that you have. Being jealous, it's rooted in the emotion of fear of losing something, losing someone you love, or losing a position. And then it says drunkenness. And can I tell you today, the church is drunk. There's so many places where there's drunkenness, and it's not a blessing, it's a curse. And people are claiming it's the Holy Spirit, but it's the unholy spirit. If you do a word study, in fact, there's a little book back there I wrote called Drunkenness, Is It a Blessing or a Curse? And in that book, I used every scripture on drunk, drunken, sober, alert, and there's not one scripture in the Bible that tells you to be drunk. The only place that they use to substantiate their doctrine is when they say that the disciples, when they received the Holy Spirit, they thought they were drunk. But in that same passage of Acts 2, Peter stands up and says, these men are not drunk. And so that's the only scripture that they use. And you can do a word study on harlotry, wine, and new wine, and it says it takes away the understanding. And basically, there's a good table of the Lord, where there's good wine and there's good the wine of God's word and his and the bread of his word. But there's also eating at the table of demons. And if you do that word study on harlotry, the harlot, wine, you see that this is judgment against the harlot church. And a spiritual harlot is anyone that prays a prayer to receive Jesus and their heart goes after other lovers. They're spiritual harlots. They can be a Baptist. They can be in these false religion, false revivals where people are laid out and spiritually drunk and don't even know what town they're in. Let me tell you, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And people think that they can't control themselves. Well, let me tell you something. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the unholy spirit. There's a ministry out in California. They're grave sucking. They're laying on graves, tattooing their body, grave sucking. Only thing you get by grave sucking is a bunch of demons. Anyway, it's just heresy. The church in America is so messed up. It's very hard to find a place that's teaching a word nowadays. It's so sad. So we need to pray for the pastors in America, because somebody was telling me, I think it was Dan and Crystal, was telling me their little child's going to Christian school, and the kids come home and say, "Mom and Dad, why are the church, why these Christian churches, these people are not acting Christian?" Because the world's in the church. Because repentance is not taught. And so many people, Leonard Ravenhill says only 5% of church members are saved. Howard Pittman says 10% of church members are saved. And you need to know you're saved. Let me tell you something. When you're born again, I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade, but I wasn't born again until I was 25 years old. I just kept on doing the same old things I was doing, no conviction. But I got born again. When I got born again, my whole life changed. And if you don't know, and when you're born again, you can't explain it, but you know that you know that you know that you know that God's done a work in your heart. And if you're here this weekend and you don't know that you know that you know, you need to be born again. And you'll never be born again till you're willing to give up your life 100%. When I got born again, I was to the place, I was 25 years old. My husband was vice president of a bank in a little bitty town, and I had clothes, I had everything imaginable, I had a nice house, I had everything, but I hated life. I would have never committed suicide, never even had a thought of it, but I hated this world. It was like I was in a storm on a beach, and it was a storming, and when I got born again, it was like there was peace. I had peace. And I had a reason to live. My reason to live was to live for the Lord. And so ever since then, it's been like a carrot on a stick pressing me on to do whatever God wants me to do. And so drunkenness is not the Holy Spirit. There's a physical drunkenness, and you can get drunk on food. I've been drunk on food. You ever been drunk on food? Eat so much you just feel terrible. Drunk on drugs. Drunk on alcohol, drunk being a sex glutton. You can be drunk, you can be a Baptist and not be in one of these fake revivals. And if you're a spiritual harlot, a person that has prayed the prayer to receive Jesus and you're not dealing with your stuff, you're a spiritual harlot. And that then God mixed up a cup of his wrath and he gives it to the harlot to drink. You can read that in Revelation 18. Says, "Come up out of her, my people, lest you receive of her plagues." Revelation 17 talks about giving the harlot the cup with abominations in it. And so the church today, 90% of what calls themselves Christians today are spiritual harlots, because they've made a commitment to Jesus, but they're still living like the world. And let me tell you something, when you want to walk the narrow way, you're still a work in progress, but you're going to be called kind of strange. In fact, my poor little daddy told me one day, said, "You need to get saved." And my mother said, "Oh, Louis, shut up." My daddy's name was Louis, okay. Because he thought I was a little bit fanatic. When my husband left me, the only thing that comforted my heart was reading the Bible. So I'll go and stay with him for 2 weeks after he left, and all I did was read the Bible. My daddy, one day, said, "No wonder he left. All you do is read that Bible." Anyway, I forgive my dad for that. He just didn't understand. I had a great dad, but he just didn't understand. He didn't understand me in some areas. Drunkenness, carousing, means indulging in one's appetites excessively. It could be food, drink, or other things. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not a one-time sin. It's a practice, a habit, a custom, a lifestyle. And so walking in the Spirit means to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow the Lord. It means to give up my life that I might find it. The other day somebody said, well, I don't understand how to give up your life. It doesn't mean God wants you to go out and shoot yourself. It means that in every situation you choose His way over your way, His plans over your plans, His attitudes over your attitudes, and it's a daily, moment-by-moment choice. Paul says, I die daily. He died daily. And so giving up your life, you have to give up your life. And even with salvation, in John 12, it says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And so fruitfulness is not going to come forth in your life until you die to your flesh, till you're willing to turn from your flesh, give up your life. And the Bible says, then you'll find it. And so that's why so many people are not born again. Years ago, the Lord taught me, I was teaching out in California to this about a whole bunch of people. And I said, Lord, I know these people are not all saved. How do I teach them to be saved? And He said, teach them to deny their self and take up my cross and follow me. Sometimes we think our cross, Derek Prince says, your cross is not your mother-in-law, it's not your maid, it's not your bills. It's every place you violate the Word of God, when your will contradicts God's will. And so that's taking up your cross. And so how we walk in the Spirit is to continue to let go of our life and struggle against, choose against what our flesh wants to do. I remember when my grandson David, that's been here at the camp and prayed with me, when he was 9 years old, he had a soccer game, and I took him to the soccer game, and then I took him to Chili's afterwards, and he ordered a chocolate molten. And I said, oh, David, I want that. So God told me I couldn't have one. I said, oh, God, my flesh is suffering, David, so bad. He said, Grandmother, if I wasn't eating this, my flesh would be suffering too. You know, and another time, this was just some things that God taught me in choosing God. Not that I always do, but I always try to do it. And if I don't, then I repent really quick. But I made myself a fajita, and I wanted three, and the Lord said, you only have two. And I wanted a third one so bad, but the minute I said no, 2 minutes later, I didn't even want it. And what the Lord showed me is when we're battling against the flesh, it's like taking off in a plane. And if you've ever flown in a plane, it feels like the law of gravity is pulling that plane down so much that every screw is going to fly out of the plane. That's what it feels like. Something's going to come loose. But when you get to another level, another law takes over, the law of aerodynamics, which takes you the opposite direction. And so what the Lord showed me, the minute you choose, you're going to have the struggle, like the gravity of the flesh trying to pull you down. But the minute you choose to obey, another law takes over, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and it sets you free from the law of sin and death. And so it pulls you upward. And the minute you choose, a minute later you don't want it. The battle is choosing. You have to choose God and choose to do. And that'll break addictions. Another thing the Lord showed me is sometimes if I want to eat something that I shouldn't eat, I say, Lord, I give that to you as a sacrifice. And then I wouldn't dare eat it. I'd be afraid to eat it. But I've been doing that for about 8 or 9 years. And I can tell you there hadn't been one time I gave it to God that I ever took it back because I have the fear of God on me. I'd be afraid I'd go berserk. Eat everything that wasn't nailed down. And so walking in the Spirit is to give up your life that you might find it. And unless you grain, and that the parable Jesus spoke in John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So for a grain of corn, you plant a grain of corn in the soil, the moisture of the soil rots the outside of the corn, and then life springs forth. So God's saying that we're like that grain of wheat. When we choose to die to ourselves, then the life of Christ comes through. And it's not His, you know, you can try all day to love somebody, but it has to be God loving them through you. And so, because it's His character and it's His nature to love. Our flesh wants is selfish. Our flesh is not loving. And so when we choose to die to our life, then the life of Christ comes forth and the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our life. Show the illustration of the God's refuge.
Okay. When you're under God, this represents Psalm 91. And this is you're under God's refuge. And see, Satan.
Jerry, take the microphone with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't let me fall again, Mark.
No,
please.
Be careful.
Yeah. That's another story that I'm going to share here today.
Yeah. Be careful.
Anyway, I can't read this anymore, but I'm going to be able to one of these days. And it says, let me see if I can read this over here. Psalms 41:10 says, I know the Lord is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. So if the enemy's beating up on you, God is not pleased about something. So you're out here in Satan's territory. Here the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. Satan can't get to you. This represents God's refuge, daddy, mother, children underneath God's refuge. I'll give the next one. Okay, say this rebellious child wants to get out here, or you get out here in Satan's territory and you're getting hit. And it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. In the next one. Psalms 41, already quoted that. Now, if the daddy's out of line and he's opened himself up to sin, what happens is that hole in that protection comes down and attacks the family. So that's why mothers and fathers need to, when they're having problems with their children, they need to ask the Lord what they're doing, because usually what they're doing, the kids are doing. Okay, the next one. And so when you get swallowed up, you can be inside the demons where you get swallowed up, and that's another message. Or you can have demons inside of you too. And when you're praying for somebody, you know how sometimes you pray for somebody and they don't feel anything, or they don't get any deliverance, or you wonder if anything happened? Usually they're swallowed up. So one day I was praying for somebody and the Lord said, take them out of there. And I jerked them out and they said, well, I felt that. Okay, the next one. Oh, right here in Jeremiah 51 says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which is representative of Satan, has devoured me, and he swallowed... Somebody read that.
Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me down like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me away.
Right. So that's a type of Satan. And he can only get to you out here. And that's what the Lord's taught me, is that I'm getting attacked. I'm out here even though I'm submitted, Jesus is Lord of my life, if I'm getting attacked, I'm getting hit, there's some reason why I'm getting hit. And that's why I just deal with God, whatever he tells me to do, and then I'm free. And the devil's not even an issue to me anymore. So I don't have to battle the devil. I go directly to God. And I'm not telling you not to bind the devil or cast him out. I cast demons out of people. But in my own personal life, I mainly, 90% of the time, I'm dealing with just with God. Okay, next. And so we make a refuge out of ourselves, out of sex, out of money. And all of these things... takes us out of God's refuge. We make a refuge out of drugs, alcohol, work, money, ourself. Let me see if I can read all of these. Food, that's been a refuge for me. Food, alcohol, any of these things. And so these are, when you give up your life, for example, if I'm making a refuge out of this, I have to give certain things up. I have to give all these things up. That's giving up your life. Whatever you're trusting in, whatever you're choosing, whatever you're looking to make you happy, whatever's stressing you is idolatry. Isaiah 28:15 says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we've made a pact. Talks about the overwhelming scourge. You want to read that, Deborah? Isaiah 28:15.
Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception.
Okay, so when we make something else a refuge, my son, who lived a homosexual lifestyle, made sex a refuge, and God told me 7 years before he got AIDS that the overwhelming scourge was going to get him. And I said, well, Lord, are you trying to tell me something's going to happen to Todd? And sure enough, it was that. And you can go over and read that passage. You can't even cover your feet. The blanket won't cover your feet. He couldn't even cover his feet. Okay, next. Okay, say you have a rebellious child and he wants to live out here. What we do is we're out there, we're paying his bills, we're enabling him, we're helping him in all of his drugs, we're paying his rent and all this stuff. And then what happens is because we enable that child, we get in rebellion ourselves. Next one. The next one, Deborah. And so then he's getting hit and we feel sorry. And so mother usually, or daddy, runs out here. Okay, next one. Covers them with their little dinky umbrella. And guess who gets hit? God says, when your mother and father forsake you, God will take you up. So next one. Mother and dad, mother gets back over here and daddy gets back over here and let the enemy beat up on him a while. And if you're his savior, he doesn't need one. Right? So if you've got a problem child, an adult child that's doing things you don't approve of, first of all, ask the Lord to show you if you did the same things, because you might be reaping what you've sown. Deal with your sin. Everything that you've done that your child's doing that you don't like. And then let the enemy beat up on them. Don't enable them. Don't babysit for them. Don't buy them food. Don't do nothing. And just leave them alone. And they'll be looking for a savior when you're not around to save them. Okay, next one. Now this is another way of saying you're in God's refuge. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Okay, the next one. So God's the potter, and he tells you to come to him. This clay's got the most junk. This one looks the best, right? This one here willfully will not go. This one here maybe wants to go, but he don't think God wants him. Okay, next one. The one with all the junk gets up here, and the potter takes the junk out, right? God's the potter, and you're the clay. What does the clay do? The clay just rests on the potter's wheel. Right? One thing that you have to do is stay surrendered. You fall off, get back on. You fall off, confess your sin, get back on. Fall off, confess your sin, get back on, and you'll fall off less and less. This one is under the law. This one, there's no law. You know, in the Old Testament, God wouldn't take a defective sacrifice, one that was blind or lame or crippled. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Well, I've got a problem. I'm full of junk, and so are you. But when you yield to the potter on his altar, the blood that spilled out is the precious blood of Jesus. There's no law here. There is a law here. Okay, the next one. Now, many of you that are legalistic are trying to turn the potter's wheel. You're trying to fix yourself. He's under the law because there's no law here. Okay, next one. This one here won't let go of his sin, and he's under the law. You know, his sin could be just his own intellect and his own idea of thinking how smart he is. Right? Well, I just don't believe what the Word of God says. So he won't let go, and he's under the law. Okay, the next one. This one here wants to go, but he don't think God wants him. He thinks God's going to say, Clay, you're too bad. Chunk you. God first gave me this because I was teaching 40-hour seminars, and I'd look at people and they'd think, oh, God's going to kill me any minute. because they were just word seminars. It was all repentance. And then the Lord gave me this illustration. This one here is under the law. Even though he wants to go, he's afraid that God don't want him. Okay, the next one. This one here is trying to fix himself before he can go. This is the way I used to be. I had to get myself perfect before I could go. Right? God says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. This one is under the law. Okay, next one. That may be the last one. This one here, he's under the law. He's trying to beat himself up. I'm just too bad. Anybody like that? I'm just too bad, God don't want me. He's under the law. Okay, the next one. Is that the last one? No. This one here, no, back up. This one here, every time he gets on the potter's wheel, he doesn't like what God's doing, so he jumps off. He doesn't want to be a beautiful vase. He wants to be a plate or something. So he's under the law. He's saying, no way. Okay? He's under the law. Okay, this one here, I used to have a farm, a ministry farm, and I had so many people leaving. And a girl who came out of Satanism, who's really walking with God now, She thought, I'm out of here. In other words, they took off because they didn't like what God was doing. Okay, that may be the last one. But anyway, those are just ways to say being under God's refuge or being under the law, just other words for walking in the Spirit. Hope this thing didn't jump. And so some other words for walking in the Spirit is 1 Peter 4:1 says, arm yourself with the same purpose, for as Christ suffered in the flesh, so you suffer in the flesh, for in suffering sin loses its power. It says, when I'm on the potter's wheel, the clay that's full of junk has one thing to do, and that's to stay yielded, to surrender to the potter. It's God's job to take junk out of you. But as long as you're running around the potter's wheel, he can't do it. As long as you're hanging on to your life, he can't do it, because you have to yield to the potter's. Because God has a plan specifically for each one of us. He knew when you were conceived what he wanted you to do on this earth. Most people live their life and miss what God put them here for. That'd be the most tragic thing I can imagine to ever happen to me or to happen to you. But if you stay on the potter's wheel, you can't miss God. You stay yielded to God and you will fulfill the purpose God has for you. You couldn't miss it if you tried. You will be what God put you here for. Another word for it, for walking in the Spirit, is Romans 12:1. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you're abiding in Christ, when you're on the potter's wheel, it says, if you abide in me, whoever abides in me does not sin. The only time you're not sinning is when you're yielded. Is that right? And the perfect sacrifice, God doesn't look at your junk. He's looking at his precious blood, because he was the sacrifice. Denying yourself is another word for it. Abiding in Christ is another word for walking in the Spirit. Yielding your members to God as instruments of righteousness is another way of saying it. Give up your life that you might find it is another way of saying it. Another way of saying it is decrease that he might increase. Suffering in the flesh, walking in the Spirit, walk in the highway of holiness. God says without holiness, no man's going to see God. And it doesn't mean your clay has to be perfect, because nobody has perfect. We're all full of mess, every one of us. And I've been repenting ever since God taught me this, and every day I'm repenting of something. I remember something that I did in my childhood that I've never asked God to forgive me for. God says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So God doesn't want you to allow fear in your life. He didn't want you to allow anger, bitterness, hurt. All of those things have to go. And there's things in our lives, he doesn't show us everything at once. But every sin we've committed, as long as we're alive, God's going to be trying to bring that to our remembrance so we can get it right. And every time you get it right, one of those other demons leave. that could be overwhelming, but if you just know all you have to do is stay yielded, God's going to do it. Faith purifies the soul, the Bible says. And so here are some other things you need to say about God's law. Obeying God's word guarantees prosperity. God says in 3 John, I want above all, beloved, that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So if you're not in good health and you've got health issues, it's because you haven't had a prospering soul. You don't get a prospering soul by watching TBN or PTL. Leonard Ravenhill, I heard him say once, if we don't hurry and get to heaven, the TV evangelists are going to dig up the streets of gold and there won't be nothing left. Psalms 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The Old Living Bible, not the New Living Translation, but the first Living Bible says it this way. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the place of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And day and night he meditates on God's word and thinks about ways to follow him more closely. It goes on to say he's like a tree planted along a riverbank, always bearing luscious fruit each season without fail, and his leaf will never wither, and everything he does will prosper. In the Bible, trees are types and shadows of us. There's another place that says the trees of the field clap their hands. Another place God says good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. The law of the Lord restores the soul and makes us wise. Psalms 19:7 says the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And that's not all of it, but I forgot what the next thing says. Okay, and so when the law of God's in our heart, our feet will not slip. Well, I've had slipping feet for at least four times this past year or past year and a half. And what I did is I didn't run to the world for answers. I went to God's word for answers, and I started looking up all the scriptures on walk, foot slipped, stumble, and repented over every last one of them. And God is, my legs are probably about 90% healed. I missed one camp because I couldn't hardly walk. And one day I fell and my leg bled for a whole hour. And so they're just now getting back to normal. But I've been repenting over walk, the word walk, feet, steps, path, everything that had to do with my fall, all the symptoms that I was feeling, and God healed it. I was climbing over my fence, and the Lord showed me the pride in doing that, and I hurt my arm climbing over the fence, and just repenting over arm of the flesh. I looked up all the scriptures on arm of the flesh, God's arm, and God showed me I was using my arm instead of God's arm. It was just pride. Now my arm is 98% healed, and I've never took one thing for it. Praise God. I did for a period of about 2 weeks, I maybe took 5 Advil because it hurt if I moved it. And then that was making my blood. That's why my leg bled. Plus chia seeds. If you're on blood thinners, did you know chia seeds? You know those little heads they put seeds on and it grows grass on their head? Those are little chia seeds. They're very healthy, but they also are blood thinners. So I've had to quit eating chia seeds. So I don't know why people take the rat poison when they can take chia seeds. Did you know that blood thinners are rat poison? And so when the law of God's in our heart, our feet don't slip. Psalms 37, and God, you know what? And I know that was the attack of the devil, all four of them. But there was a cause for it. It was pride. And so I asked God to show me what the cause was, and he has. Okay, God commands us to teach our children his law. How many of us were taught God's law by our parents? Very few of us. I know Glenn was. Not Glenn, Merrill. I know his dad and mom taught him the word of God. I had good parents, but they didn't teach me the law of God. They taught me right and wrong.
But very few people can say their children were taught the love of the Lord. I can say that of my grandkids. Every one of my grandkids are prayer warriors.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.